areas of the pathways and God and this, that, and the other, and it's about 3 weeks now. I want to share just a little bit more into that, and maybe this might be the finality of it, and we'll see. But God's path. You know, we were sharing about how Don referred to it a little bit in Psalm 77:19 in the New Living, how it says there's a pathway that no one sees, there's a pathway that no one knows. That speaking of God with the children of Israel as they were going to the Red Sea and were going to either get slaughtered by the Egyptians coming behind them, or there's going to have to be a way made for them to escape. And of course, we know that God made a way where there seemed to be no way. He had a path that no one could see going right through that water until he opened up that waterway. And so we looked at that in our lives even today, that I believe many of us, as we go through life, we have our backs against the wall, or maybe we're not against the wall. We are going forward, and we're not seeing anything as a way out. And so we might have to, you know, what's going on, God? And we got to have that direction. And I want you to know that God will give you that direction. Amen. He's there to help you. He has a pathway for all of us to follow and to be on. But this world, you know, and think of the world and the devil, the god of this world, he has a path as well for us all to be on as well. And so there are many upon that, and that's the world's path of how we go through this life. But God's word shares this. We find, if you'd want to turn, or well, I'll just kind of read through the scriptures here that we've got. You can make a note of it if you like, but Matthew 7:13 and 14, we know it as a very familiar verse about the narrow way. God's word is telling us, Jesus is sharing with the disciples. He's sharing with the disciples of that time what it's going to take and what to be cautious and looking for. And so Matthew 7:13, he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by in it." "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to it. I all of a sudden it just hit me. I read through that again last night and I was wondering, difficult is the way. I think it's a difficult in that until we totally surrender ourselves to Christ and totally allow him to be fully in us, there is a difficulty, because there's a difficulty in us trying to serve the world and the kingdom of God. And we come to ourselves where we're tossed to and fro. We're like a man, we got a split personality. We want to do this, but we do that. We do that, we should do this. Paul shared about those things, you know. We look at these areas in our lives and we realize that it is kind of a difficult time to stay on that narrow path. And it's a difficult time, I know at times, because of the things that we see in the world and the things that we're a part of and see taking place around us. But the gate is narrow. The narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. But there are few, and there are few who will find it. Amplified says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell, the highway to destruction is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. Remember, we also shared in these things that the choices, about 3 or 4 weeks back, I think we had, I shared a message on choices and choosing. We have a choice. We have an ability to choose these things on what we're going to do. God has left it up to you to make this choice. You can either make it this way or that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. We are finding here that Jesus is motivating his disciples to live righteously by emphasizing that such living comes from the heart with love and in trust more than through observance of an external code of ethics. Living comes from the heart. It's not because you observe external codes of ethics and things to do. It's not because of following religious orders of things and mandates of man and how to do these things that's going to get you through that. It's going to be the change of your heart, because that's what Christ is all about, changing the heart of man. So it comes more than just through observations of external codes of ethics. We find in the New Testament, wisdom reveals the difference between a correct behavior based only on the law and the righteousness actions that proceed from the heart of a new life reborn in Christ. We need to suspect things that are popular or favored by the world. That should be a red flag. If the world says something is good, do you want to jump right into it right away? I would think we would write to, in this day and age, I would hold back a little bit and say, let me think on it, let me pray about it, let me ponder it. Or maybe if you're really filled with the Holy Spirit and it's one of these things that you need to make a quick action and the Spirit of God says, stop! Don't go any further. Change your direction. Don't listen to them. Be aware. Be wise. Don't do it. But we got to be careful of these things because the world is laid with all kinds of smoke and mirrors to make us think that things are good when they're not really good. There's a lot of things out there that started back in the 40s, the 50s, and the 60s, and some of the things that we as a nation looked at that, well, it's not so bad, and this is going to take place, and this won't happen, and this is how we want to help, and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, you know, you go 20, 30, 40 years down the road, and you find out what was initially said or shared back in the 50s, it's totally gone further than that in the 90s, and now in the year 2000s, and the 2010, and here we are, 2019. What is 2020, and what's 2030, and all of these years ahead of us? What are they going to show? I guess probably as we look at it, I can tell you and give you a clue if you don't already know, it's going to grow even dimmer. You know, what's taking place in our worlds today, it's just going to get worse, but it's not to be fearful, and it's not to not have peace, because God gives us that peace. He gives us that ability to stand even when all of these things are taking place because we know something is much better is available. When we make the choice to be on God's path and to follow it through our life, there's benefits to his path. And that's the thing we've got to realize. I know you'll hear one side of the the world or people out there will say, well, I can't follow it. There's too many rules and regulations. Or I can't be that good. You're supposed to be a goody two-shoes. You're supposed to do this or that, and I just can't do that. And I'm glad they're being honest, because I would say the same thing. You know, I can't do that. But I think that's where, as my life and maybe your life has changed, is that you realize that you can't do it. That's number one of a choice that you just made. I've made a choice and I've chosen that I know that I can't do it, but I can do it through who? Christ. As Christ comes into my life, as he gives me that strength to be able to stand, the words to use, the words to stand on, the words to bring peace, the words to bring comfort, the words to give direction, the words to give me a warning. God's word is full of all of these things for us, but it avails nothing if all you do is you leave it closed up and you don't open the book. You don't open the book, you're going to be lost. You don't open the book, you're going to be, you know, beaten up. You're going to have a lot of vitality, a lot of strength, a lot of whatever in you zapped from you, because this world somehow has a way to what? Suck these things out of us. How many here start out the day in joy and happiness, and by about 9:30, it's already down the tube sometimes, if you allow it? That happens. People around you are a good indicator of how life and what the world's going on, and pretty soon as they're all down in the doldrums and speaking this or that, you come in all charged up and praise God. It's not long that sometimes you can begin to be drained of those things, and you start kind of feeling that same similar feeling or thoughts. And when that happens, what do you have to do? Cast those thoughts away. You got to lay those things down. You've got to remember back in God's word about the strength and about the peace and about the comfort and about his love and all of these things he has for us to get us through these situations. Getting back to this path, Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Now we're finding this psalm, it's quoted in the New Testament in Acts 2:25. It's speaking about the resurrection of Jesus. Inasmuch as we share about how God's help helps us along and has things for us to do while we're here on this earth. We do have things to do, but we got to look at the whole walk of our life is realizing of our salvation and realizing where we're going to spend eternity. It's all based in our salvation through that of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross of Calvary, we have a place for us that is in, it's kind of hard. We try to describe it. We hear things of how we can describe it and the perfection of it. It's just like, I don't know, take anything that is somewhat very beautiful and perfect here on this earth and probably multiply it, you know, like 10,000 times and maybe a million times, and it might be pretty close to how it is in heaven. But it's a place that it's kind of indescribable. I've not been there to come back to tell you exactly what I have seen. I've heard stories, and we take those and we run with that and think on those things. But personally, I have not seen it, but I heard some wonderful things. But I also hear that through Jesus Christ that he goes to prepare that place for us. But anyway, we are finding that the place for us is in heaven. That's better than where we are right now. And as a child of God, we're going to go through this life, and I'm not one that says, I just want to get out of here and take me home, Lord. Maybe there's times I utter that in frustration when crazy things happen that I'm, you know, at the moment of situations. But in reality, it's like I'm not ready to go unless you're ready to take me home. I want to stay here, Lord, to fulfill and complete what you have for me to do. And then when that happens, then take me home. Let me come to my reward in heaven, you know, that indescribable place. But it's so indescribable, but it's so perfect and beautiful, and everything is pristine and precise, healthy, no sickness, no hospitals, no doctors. I hope no computers, no smartphones. We won't need them. But as we go through this life and we have situations of struggles and situations of frustrations, Jesus has come and he gives us life in abundance. And I think most of us, if we were to ask, I think you've had a good life. This has been a good place. Yeah, there's been some struggles and some situations. We had back in Sunday school, Greg Lowry was sharing in regards to temptations and why are things tempted or Christians tempted, and we went through all of that. And, you know, if Jesus was tempted, why would you not think that the devil would not try to tempt you, you know, his follower? And we can reply to the devil just like what Jesus replied to the devil in the wilderness if we're strong in that of Christ. And we have Christ living in us, and it's not my ways, it's his ways. And that I could refer back and remember or call back to claim some of the scriptures that what Jesus shared to the devil. Realization to know is that, you know, the devil knows the scriptures better than you do. But we had an interesting thing that we found that he did leave out a particular area when he was tempting Jesus, didn't he? So just a quick thing, back when Jesus was baptized, comes out of the water, he's led into the wilderness, the devil now takes him up into the holy city, sets him on this pinnacle of the temple. He says to them, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up. So the only thing is, the devil left out a particular verse in that. And that verse, if you go back to Psalms, was it 91:11, and it says, to keep you in all your ways. Jesus, hallelujah, God has made a way. He will keep you in all of your ways. As we serve him and follow him and on his path, you've got to realize and come to the understanding that he is there and he's going to be with you and he's not going to leave you. Many times, maybe, you might feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. The Lord is there with you. So anyway, getting back, as we have the salvation, that's, you know, as much as we have good stuff here and blessings of the Lord here in our lives, and we look around and we have a home and we have a job, we have a car, we got all these things, and it's a blessing. But really, the thing we need to look at is, you know, all of that one day is going to be gone. One day it's all going to be gone. Doesn't matter what you had, how much, where, whatever, it's all going to be gone, and you're going to be going before him. And you're going to have to, you know, where are you going from here? Hopefully we're all going to heaven to spend eternity. It's heaven or hell, one or the other. There's no in between. For a child of God, we're looking at it as saying, I'm temporarily passing through this place. I'm just here for a vapor. I'm just a vapor. And when this comes, Lord, and you call me home, I'm going home to a much better place. We find here, again, in Psalms, talking about that this shows me the path of life. And as we're talking about eternal life, we can talk about the wonderful things, the benefits of Christ in our lives here on this earth, but we got to also get to that point to where we know there's something even much better than him with us here, and that's being with him there in heaven for eternity. In John 14, we have three P's that he speaks about here. The three P's. In John 14, 1 to 3. So we find here in John 14, 1 to 3, again, familiar, the way, the truth, and the life. And these are where we're going to find what Jesus is speaking, again, to the disciples. Peter, prior to that, says to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus says to him in verse 38, back in 13 here, it says that, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow three times till you've denied me. We had a little bit of that this morning back in Sunday school about, you know, the pride and how we say, it'll not happen. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be there for you. And it's those things we got to watch. But then right in 14, Jesus begins to say, what? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in also in me. Verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And verse 3, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will receive you to myself, and that where I am, what? There you will be also. So we find in verse 1, 2, and 3, verse 1 we find peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God, believe also in me. Let not your heart be troubled. So the peace that we have is the surety that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us because of the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, the right hand of God the Father, and then speaks of when he returns again. For he says, in like manner, remember we read that, as he ascended, also he will descend when it comes time. So we know by scriptures that he is coming back, but the peace that we find is to not let your heart be troubled. Verse 2, we're going to find the place. In my Father's what? House. Or many mansions or dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus is reaffirming. I go to prepare a place for you. And then we find in verse 3 the promise. And it says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what's the promise? I will come again and I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. So we have the peace, the place, and the promise. And that's what we find in God's word. As Jesus is sharing to the disciples, we find these things that he's reassuring that as well to us. So let's look at it. Again, firstly, he starts off with a comforting exhortation. Do not be troubled, but be at peace. Our peace is based on our beliefs in God and upon Jesus Christ. We know that he is trustworthy, and that gives us a foundation of peace upon which we can build our lives. I think as we find the trustworthiness, the ability to believe what we read in the scriptures, we find that it's true. We find that there is no, what they call it, bait and switch. The terminology that the world will use and some of the retailing aspects, and back in the years back, you'd hear it a lot about ads that would be out there, and you know, you'd go in for that one item. They only had like five items and they're sold out, but here's something that you could buy in place of it, but it's a little bit higher, bait and switch type of a thing. In God's word, we are not baited and switched. In God's word, we're told the truth, we can believe his word, and we can trust and stand upon it because it comes from who? God. God. And we can hear that word even today because of the Holy Spirit in us and being hearing and listening. We were talking this past week, and I've been getting now together with a retired pastor for about almost a month and a half now. And in our conversations, he inquired about a couple of other pastor friends of mine. And so I invited one, and 2 weeks back, he came, and it was the three of us, and just talking about some things in the church and things. And then this past week, the fourth one came. He was able to make it. So it was the four of us sitting around a table at a coffee shop, and It was in the afternoon, so it was kind of quiet, and it was like, I don't know, 90, probably 89 or 92 degrees out, and there's not too many people going into a coffee shop to buy coffee. Maybe a lot of them go in and buy, like, the cold brew and stuff like that. I don't know. But anyway, getting together with some other pastors and this one retired pastor, and we're just sharing and talking about some things and just kind of off of each one of us. And we were sharing about God's Word and talking about how, you know, reading it, and then the one said, but then you can read these scriptures, and then all of a sudden, you know, this one here just comes off of the page to you and just gets you electrified. And of course, I said, well, and we were sharing, I was like, well, that's the difference from the Logos, just the word of the Lord, to the Rhema, to the active powerfulness of that. And I said, it hits all of us, and you can read that scripture 15 times and let the 16th time hit you, and it's like all of a sudden, because the Spirit in us, and this pastor was, you know, talking about, he's from a faith that is kind of interesting. Their denomination speaks kind of against tongues, and he says, and all of that, but he says, I believe in those things. I've not spoken in tongues, but I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believe in these things and all this, so that was kind of good to hear, you know. But here again, their particular denomination, and there's a lot of denominations out there, you know. You don't need to name any of them, but there are those out there that don't believe in the tongues and the things like that. They feel it causes disorder and things of that nature, and sometimes they don't. Of course, we know they don't fully embrace that of the Holy Spirit because they don't feel, you know, it's for today, to the point of allowing the Spirit to just flow and move within a congregation. And that's where how we get the Rhema, though, of God's Word is through the Holy Spirit in us that ignites within our spirit the power of God's Word. It's one thing just to read it, and if you're just reading it to be reading it, you might as well just get your cooking recipe books and some kind of books out there that, you know, teach you how to garden or how to make a cake and just read that. You'll probably get just as much out of it as you will just reading the Bible, for just reading it for the verbiage of the words and for the historical parts of it. Historical is good, but powerful and alive is better. And so that's where it's such a good thing to see the history and the pack side of the Bible, or the New or the Old Testament, what took place, but to read it with vitality and being alive inside in the Spirit with the Holy Spirit, it's like this stuff it's fresh. It's almost like, I can't believe this has been written over 2,000 years ago. This is so powerful, or more than 2,000 years. It's been how old, but yet it's like it's speaking today to the very, very issues that I'm having. That's because it's God's Word that is continually not changing. It's always there, but it's a Word that fits the situation of life, because life is meant to see God's Word alive in us as we read His Word. That's why I'm so glad to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm so glad to be open to the Holy Spirit. That's why it's okay that I don't understand the Holy Spirit, but I know that if it's from God, it's got to be good. Now, I know the devil can compromise that. The devil can maybe copy that. And there's some flakiness out there for sure in those realms, because spiritual is bad spirits, good spirits, and all these things. But as a child of God, filled with the Spirit, in God's Word, you're going to know when that spirit is not of that of God. Because it'll quickly do something in you, and you'll say, that does not compute, that does not make sense. But the only way we've got to know that is to be tuned into His Word, so that we know when the devil tries to quote a scripture back to us that, hey, wait a minute, you left out a very important part that was in there that you didn't want me to hear. And so it's just being tuned up to God by the Holy Spirit. And to read these things, to read these scriptures, to read these verses, and to read them with anticipation of being ignited by them. Don't read the Bible just to think, I'm going to figure out, or I'm going to read a nice, lovely story about whatever. I'm going to read Your Word, God, and in that Word, there's going to be something in it that's going to speak into my spirit, that's going to charge me up to help me through today, tomorrow, this week, next month, next year, whatever the case might be. But Lord, I'm going to come to You. And we find this throughout His Word, that we can find these things of peace and comfort and direction. And here we're finding where Jesus is telling the disciples about these things. and about the place that he goes. So we talked about first, he starts off with a comforting exhortation, do not be troubled, be at peace. Our peace is based on our belief in God and Christ. My peace is based in that. It's not based on anything that I see in this foolish world that's out there. It's all based upon what I see and read in the Word and what my times with my God shows me into my spirit, and that we just move on. We just keep going and doing our best. We go out and have services in these other apartments and these other places. It's a mission field out there in these apartment buildings where these people can't get out, that you can go out and share. And they're just really gravitating towards that. And you know what? They're almost like looking forward for me coming every 2 weeks. Like when I get there, they're so happy to see me. I know you're happy. Okay, I'm not trying to compare. But it's totally different when you go to a place and they're just waiting for you, you know. Guy's at the door to let me in because it's locked. He's going to lead me down to where it's at. They just are phenomenal. But I'm doing is sharing the Word of God. I'm not even too concerned about where they're at spiritually or where they're at denominationally. I'm just going in there with one purpose, and that's just to break the Word with them and tell them God's Word for what it is and how it's going to help them, I believe, and work in their lives. But you got to have that foundation of peace. And that comes through that of Christ, which we can build our lives on and stand upon. Secondly, in that second area that we spoke about, where we talked about in my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus speaks here of a place. He promises us that he will go there to prepare this place for us. This is where his followers will have eternal fellowship with him. These are all very familiar scriptures and verses that you share a lot of times at funerals because people are disheartened. And it's like if they're a child of God and Christ is in their life, they have gone on to a much better place because Jesus says he's prepared it for them. You may have sorrow and sadness, and that's good. That's okay. But you've got to realize that they are in a much better place. Where, remember, heaven, somewhat indescribable, but we say and it says that there's no sicknesses and illnesses and cancers and blindness and there's no crippledness and there's no diseases. And it's a perfect place where we will have eternity to be. Thirdly, when it talked about that promise, now since he has prepared a place for us, he's telling us in verse 3 that he will come back for us. Isn't that great to know that he says, I will come back for you? Now, if we end up going before he comes in the return of the second coming, when we pass, you know, there's people that have said or shared or whatever visions before they've gone out that, you know, they find that they feel like there's someone there with their arms opened. There's someone dressed in white and there's a bright light and all these things. And we believe that to be that of heaven. When I hear people say those things and they've had a life of Christ and, you know, they're a follower and have been for whatever season of their life. But they look at that and maybe as they're going from this time to that time, there's something that they're seeing totally. And they could be totally been in a coma for months or years. And when that time comes that, oh, they're seeing and sensing something, but it's in that spiritual realm. And sometimes you glean that maybe when they say, oh, it is so beautiful. Oh, I'm coming. There's a bright light. Oh, it's so blue. It's so smell. I still refer back to my mom when her dad passed. And she said all that I could hear my dad when he was in that hospital bed or where he was at in bed at home when he was passing from this life to that. He just says, oh, it's so beautiful. The colors are so vibrant. It smells so different, and it's such a sweet smell. It's like, wow. So is that dimension when that spirit is beginning to leave and we're crying and no, don't go. And yep, they're seeing in that spiritual realm, they're seeing where they're going to spend that eternity that has been promised to them, prepared for them, that they're saying it's beautiful. It smells like I have never smelled before on this earth. It's vibrant. It's blue that I've never seen before. You know, we think as society, as a man, remember back when we had the black and white TV and then we got color TV, that was great, you know, when the color TV first came out and it was kind of fuzzy. Colored lines and, you know, the colors were kind of like, that's kind of a fuzzy looking guy, you know, colors. And then as time has progressed and now look at where we're at, I can't even comprehend now what they talk about as far as digital and the pixels and stuff like that that are like so much better. And it's like totally, you can look at these things, and it's like looking at those people like they're right there with you because of the clarity, the vibrancy, and there's no distortion that our eyes can pick up because they've got these little digital pixels in there that are all LEDs that are just vibrant and bright, and they bring clarity. Gosh, if man has got that far within our TV spectrum, just imagine what it's like in heaven when they say, why? It's perfect there, you know? It's clear. It's vibrant. It's like, wow, is it better than, you know, I don't even know what the numbers are out there now on these TVs. It's gotten me so confused. I don't know. They got all kinds of numbers that start out like 720 and now 1080 and then this, and high definition of a high definition of a super high definition of a diet. It's like high definition, super high definition, super duper high definition. It's like, how high do we have to get in definitions? I think sometimes after it gets to a point, you can't even comprehend it because you're visually not able to pick it up like you might be able to, really. I just remember those days with the rabbit ears and tin foil. Where are those days at? You know? That was like the answer to anything. Tin foil back in those days was like duct tape to the day to some people. It's like, oh, you got those rabbit ears up and it's not coming in. Here, give me some tin foil. Do I need a heavy duty? Or back then, there was only one duty of tin foil. It was just tin foil. Do I need nonstick or what? No, just give me some tin foil. How big do I make the little thing? And we'd be up there and pinch it on the side of the thing and kind of comb it to where we think it's like a radar dish, you know? I don't know. It's just crazy things. But the clarity that we put together, the clarity that man has really come up with in technology is nothing compared to that of what heaven will be and is like right now. And it's all waiting there for us. It's there. It's not like man's theme park that they're building down in Florida or California that, you know, we're in the building stages, we'll have it done pretty soon. No, heaven was done instantly. It's ready from the get-go, from very day one when God said it's ready and he's prepared it and Jesus is there and it's there for us. He's promised that he will come back for us. He shares that with his disciples, this promise, and today that we have that same promise. Do you feel that same promise? Do you hold on to that same promise that he talked to his disciples about? His personal signature in our salvation. As we've received him, he is coming to receive us. So we should be preparing ourselves for this. It's very advantageous. We've got to keep ourselves prepared for this, right? Because we're in this world. We're into this stuff that takes place here, and there's a lot of things that want to come upon us. To be prepared for this meeting, we need to do what? Keep ourselves purified. Purified. First John 3:3 speaks of the children of God. So I'm going to go real quick. John 3:3. If I start back in First John 2:28, it's talking about the children of God. It says, Now, little children, abide in him that when he appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And then we get into 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, and that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Do you feel like you're there sometimes? That the world doesn't know you. We're in that limbo area as children and child of God and his kingdom. We're here, but yet there we don't have anything to do with this place. We're just here passing through. We're here to be an example. We're here to be the salt. We're here to be the light. We're here to bring his word and salvation to those around us. But we look around and it's like, have you ever felt like, man, I am not into this world, you know? This is not for me. Well, here we find out. The world does not know us because it did not know him. We have a hard time relaying the salvation and the message of Christ to the world because, as we've talked in the past and we've heard in the past, that the world, you know, its heart and mind has been seared, it's been hardened by that of the God of this world. So when you go out and you try to share these things with people around you at your home, at your job, friends, neighbors, whatever, sometimes they look at you, but it's only because they don't understand the wavelength you're on. They don't understand the talk that you're talking about because they've not experienced it. You've experienced it because you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior already. He's been in you for some time. He's taught you and trained you and showed you these things through his scripture, through the Holy Spirit, through visions, through dreams, things of that nature, because we've been so close to him in our walk that he just wants to reveal things to us about himself to a point to where he lets us know that he's there for us. But try to share that with people that are outside the realm of the kingdom of God, and it's not easy, is it? Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been yet, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And verse 3, 1 John 3:3, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And everyone who has this hope, do you have this hope? I hope you have this hope. In him, you'll purify yourself just as he is pure. To pure talks about describing clean, modest, pure, undefiled, morally faultless, without a blemish. Christ's ability to overcome temptation and remain pure makes him a role model for all believers. But we've got to work on that. It's a role model. Christ is our what? Role model. Christ-likeness. A follower of Christ to where we are following him. Our Christian life is a process of becoming more and more like Christ. Romans 8:29. Our Christian life is a process of becoming more like Christ. In Romans 8:29 it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The process will not be complete until we see Christ face to face. 1 Corinthians 13:12. So we're talking about the process will not be complete until we see Christ face to face. 1 Corinthians 13:12, it speaks of, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Some of these things that we come across and come into, they're talking about here, I think it says that ancient mirrors which were manufactured at Corinth were made of metal and gave dim reflection. An illustration of our imperfect knowledge during this age, but the knowledge will be full and instantaneous in the future state of glory. But knowing that this is our destiny, our ultimate destiny, it should motivate us to keep ourselves or keep working ourselves into purity and keeping ourselves pure for the Lord. And it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge, but if you don't know it, you won't do it. So if we don't say, keep yourself pure, keep working on yourself, you've not arrived yet. There's still more to learn. There's still more to things to develop. There's, you know, I bet you, there, you know, as many times that we think like we're pretty good with him, I'm pretty close to him, I'm pretty maybe clean in some things to him, there's probably, if the Spirit would just continually want to just convict us of these things and just continue to, and that's what the Holy Spirit is doing day by day. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's really wanting to keep us and work on us and to purify us for that purity of when we meet him, that we're being convicted of things. And so once you're convicted of it, work on it, turn it over to God, get it out of your life, and move on. Amen. But, you know, we think, well, I think I'm doing okay. And then all of a sudden, if it'd be like if the Holy Spirit would take you and shake you upside down to empty out your pockets, all of a sudden this would fall out, that would fall out, and you go, oh my goodness, I thought I took care of that. I didn't know that was still there. What is that doing there? I thought I had emptied that out a long time ago. I thought I had asked for forgiveness for that some time back. I didn't realize what I did, you know, 2 months ago, and I kind of forgot about it, that was kind of keeping me from being totally pure in the sense of what God is looking for in purity, and as Christ is pure. But we need to be working on that with the help, for sure, of the Holy Spirit. So what is the meaning of pure? To keep ourselves morally straight, free from the corruption of sin. God also purifies us, but there's action that we need to take to be morally fit. There are some actions that we need to take to remain morally fit. 1 Timothy 5:22. Talks about, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. Keep yourself pure. This is discussing about putting people into leadership right away, but we want to keep ourselves pure. James 4:8 Starts out in 4:7, James 4:7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw who? Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so, and the last one, I won't turn there, but I can give it to you, 1 Peter, I think, 1:22. So what we're seeing is it's our responsibility. It says here, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's where it's so important. We've got to have one mind, and that mind has got to be set upon who? Christ. Our mind, our eyes, our thoughts, our fixation, everything needs to be focused upon on Christ, on God, on Father, you know, to where he is there for us, and the plan and the purposes that he has for us is so great and so grand. And we hear and we see and we see his hand move so in so many ways. And just as one shared this morning in regards to, you know, going through a health situation and how a testimony comes out of that and how God prevails in that. And so God is prevailing in all of our lives. Be looking for those areas. If you're going against a situation, you know, draw close to him. Draw close to God because he's going to draw close to you. Sometimes we end up drawing close to our friends, we draw close to the world, we draw close to whatever it is, thinking that that's going to be the answer, and it's not the answer. It's actually, it's totally opposite of what you need to be doing, drawing closer to God. So, as we finish out here, it's not a wide place to go to, it's a narrow path that we are to be on, but you can be on it, and I trust you are on it. And know that it's going to be one of these situations to where it's going to take in, day out, that we walk this walk, and that we keep ourselves pure as we prepare for all that God still has for us, and especially for that time when Christ comes back for us, if we're still here and not already in glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, it's, your word is not to scare us off. Your word is not to tell us it's going to be impossible or that there's no hope. Your word gives us hope. Your word gives us the possibilities of how we can go through this life and how you are there for us and with us. And the things that you have planned for us, Lord, we pray that as we continue on this direction with you, Father, that this path, we may need to realize, Lord, the path that we've started out on and maybe where we're at now, this path with you, Lord, has gotten even a little more narrower than when I started with you, Father, because you're slowly and just tenderly just kind of getting me focused or us focused on you more and more day in and day out. And that we need to be on what we would think the straight and the narrow, maybe, I don't know, but we need to be on your path, Lord, and to know that you are guiding our steps, you've ordered our steps, and that we're going to be upon the pathway that you have destined for us. I thank you, Father, that you give us the strength, you give us the ability to work through these things. You've never told us that you're on your own and I'm going to leave you and it's up to you to get to where I want you to go. You say that you will never leave us nor forsake us and that you're always going to be there for us. We just need to make that decision to call out for your help, call out for your assistance when we need it, as often as we need it, knowing that, Lord, we need your strength in us to help us. We thank you, Father, that you've not left us. We thank you, Father, that you're strengthening us. We thank you, Father, that you're leading and guiding us through that of the Holy Spirit. I pray right now upon each and every one here, Lord, as they would desire more of the Holy Spirit in them, be refreshed by that of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for a great week ahead, and that we, Father, we just give you honor and glory, and we bring that to you in our conversations and the things that we do and the things that we say. And Lord, as we take this week before us, we trust, Lord, and know that you're there already and that we're going to come through and give you that glory.